Amen. If you would please be seated. If you would please be seated. While everyone's getting situated here, there's a gift card that was left here at the church. I'm not sure. There's no name on it. We're not sure who it belongs to. If you left a gift card here or misplaced it, let me know and we can make sure that we get that to you. Okay. So I want to welcome all of you this morning to our annual meeting. And we should have up here a State of the Assembly Address 2020. So, like I alluded to a moment ago, we've got some folks here that are new to the church. We've got some people who have never been to the church before here today. And then we have some people who have been to the church now for a number of months but have never been present when we've done a meeting like this. Let me just give you a little bit of history if I could. Grace Life Bible Church started in the year 2007. It started at the end of October, beginning of November in the year 2007. When we first started, we were a group that came together that was made up of some people that were attending Westside Grace Church in Muskegon Heights, Michigan, as well as a Bible study that I had been teaching in Cedar Springs to the Nash family. So Linda Nash, Wayne's first wife, who obviously is gone to be with the Lord, she got a bunch of the family all wrapped up and riled up, right, Christina, to come to Bible study. And so we had a Bible study in Cedar Springs for a number of years. And then when the opportunity came for us to start a church here in the Grand Rapids area, that all came together in the year 2007. Then we moved into this facility, this building, in November 2008. It was the Sunday before Thanksgiving in 2008 that we met here at this location for the first time. Back in those years, we would do our annual meeting on the anniversary of the church. So we would normally have this meeting on the first Sunday of November. If you recall, back to last November, we did have an acknowledgement of our anniversary, and we had a cake and ice cream fellowship in the fellowship hall like we normally do. How many of you remember that? One of you. Perfect. Okay. So, we used to do this meeting then, but what that was causing was some confusion with our financial reports, because we were having a church fiscal year that was running not in conjunction with the calendar year. So our fiscal year would start on November 1st, and then it would end at the end of October, and that was very difficult for the treasurer to track. And so last year for the first time, was it last year or the year before? Last year was the first time we had the meeting in January, but we started have now, this is going to be our third year with running our financial year in conjunction with the calendar year. And so we elected to move this meeting to January. The reason we did that was because, as I said a moment ago, also, we are a very spread out church. On a normal Sunday, we have people coming from as far north as in between, north of Cedar Springs, north of Sand Lake, as far south as south of Kalamazoo, as far east as Lansing, and as far west as Grand Haven, and they are all coming here to fellowship and to study the Word of God rightly divided. From a King James Bible, from the point of view of Paul as the apostle of the Gentiles, and that's what we moved to establish back in 2007. I normally talk about Paul's core ministry strategy at this meeting, but again, since you all have photographic memories, you'll remember that I already did that in November, so I didn't want to do that again today. So what I want to do today is kind of get right into a presentation of some things regarding the church. I want to recap what the church's ministry priorities are. I want to look back at 2019. I want to note some of the significant accomplishments and so forth that we had here in our 12th year as a church. And then I want to address the question of no mortgage, now what? Okay? No mortgage, now what? Then Daryl is going to give the financial report, and then there will be a few things that I have to say at the end, and then we'll pray and we'll call the musicians up and we'll close with a song the way that we normally do. Okay? So if everybody would open up their Bible and go get 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go get 2 Timothy chapter 1. So this is not going to be a very heavy Bible study morning like it normally is. We're talking about the church. We're talking about, you know, where we're at. Okay? So, Mark, hopefully this thing will work and you and I won't have to be giving each other smoke signals to get this thing to... Did I do that or did you? Okay. All right. Just one second. So we have three priorities. The church primarily has five ministry priorities. Okay? Five ministry goals. The first one is edification. And as it says there on the screen, under the goal of edification, our goal is to establish the saints of all ages in Pauline sound doctrine and the principles of the grace life. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Notice that Timothy was taught the scriptures there from the time he was what? A child, right? His mother taught him, his grandmother taught him. He had a legacy of having been taught the scriptures from an early age. Come to 2 Timothy, go to chapter 3, look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. Actually, verse 15 is the verse I want. Verse 15, he says, "And that from a child," so Paul says to Timothy, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So as we think about our first goal is edification. Our first goal is to edify the saints in sound doctrine. Everyone from the children on up to the old timers that might be in here, okay? And to teach the Bible and to preach the Word of God. That is the first goal of the assembly, okay? The second, come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The second is being the body and one anothering. Being there and supporting each other and seeking to build up and support one another as the church, the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. Now there's a myriad of verses we could look at. I'm just looking at a few here with you this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There's the issue of one anothering. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, and one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So as we think about the ministry, as we think about the goals and the priorities of the church, first is edification, second is being there for each other. It's one anothering, it's building up the church, the body of Christ. Third is the issue of training faithful men. Come back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the verse that is on the brickwork when you walk into the church. Okay? Verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So when we have opportunities for other men to teach Sunday school or teaching opportunities, it is all around the goal of training faithful men. Okay? I'm not planning on going anywhere, but what would happen in the assembly if I could not be here for a time or if I got sick or if something happened? Who would step up and be able to, you know, teach the scriptures and lead the assembly if something were to happen to me? We need to be mindful of these things and have a goal of training faithful men, okay? Then fourth, we want to or need to enlist and identify men who are willing to serve the church as elders and deacons and so forth. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Come to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Drop down to verse 12. Verse 12, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. Paul had fellow laborers. He had people that worked with him in the ministry. We read that passage in Acts 20 where Paul is giving his final address to the Ephesian elders and he says, look guys, I'm leaving and I'm turning this thing over to you. It is going to be your job, it is going to be your responsibility to oversee the flock and to protect it and be aware of the doctrinal errors and stuff that are going to be creeping up in your midst and deal with those things. And then fifth, come to 2 Timothy 5 or 2 Timothy 4, we have the issue of evangelism. Now, this is not in a priority, like one being the highest, five the lowest. That's not the intention here. The intention here is just to state five priorities of ministry. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Paul says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." I personally believe that properly edified and mature saints will have a heart for evangelism and seeing lost souls get saved, right? We could spend a lot of time whipping everyone up, guilt-tripping everybody, trying to cajole everybody to do evangelism. Evangelism, to me, is the natural outflow of a heart that is convicted regarding the gospel, right? A heart that is convicted regarding the gospel should look at their friends, their family, their co-workers, and know that it is their responsibility as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to share the gospel with people who are not saved. Okay? And so our job is to edify, our job is to build people up, our job is to encourage people to be bold in their faith so that they can do the work of an evangelist. Okay? So if you look at the last point there, everything that we do as a church, everything that we do as an assembly, needs to be tied to one of those five scriptural priorities. Those being edification, one anothering, training faithful men, enlisting men to help with the administration of the assembly, and then the issue of evangelism. Okay? This is the Pauline ministry perspective that we have attempted to adopt. All right? Now, along those lines, I hope these come up one at a time, not as a whole list. Okay, good. So what did we accomplish in 2019? I want to reflect on this a little bit. And so this would have been our 12th year. We are now, right now, presently in our 13th year as a church. So we're reflecting back on 2019 and on our 12th year as a church. Okay? Well, one of the things that we did is I taught on and we instituted a new format for the Lord's Supper. Okay? We formed the Living the Transformed Life groups that are meeting on Friday nights to facilitate prayer and Bible study and one anothering and so forth, right? Becky led the Ladies Night Out Bible study at our house during the summer and during the warmer months. Fourth, we experienced a change in the music program. We had a change in our music program. Brother Kurt stepped down, and Brother Craig has graciously taken up that the leadership of that. So we've gone through that in 2019, and we're all still here, and we're all still excited, and so forth. We hosted a successful Bible conference on the topic of the renewing of the mind, and on Pauline neurotheology, and looking more deeply at some things that we had studied the year before. At our Bible conference on that. We had also a very successful Christmas program and fellowship. From all accounts and reports, it was probably the most successful one that we probably have done to date. So we did that. That last year, 2019, saw the publication of my second book on the King James Bible in America. So that was an accomplishment that we had in 2019. We also had various saints host fellowship events at their homes. Brad and Marcy had a picnic in August. Becky and I, we hosted the fall fire fellowship at our house in November. Okay, we can also celebrate and reflect upon the fact that many have taken on new roles within the church in the last year. They've taken on new responsibilities, new roles, and so forth. Okay. Probably the biggest praise of last year is the fact that we paid off the mortgage. The mortgage is now paid off. There's no longer a mortgage on this building, and the church owns the building and the property outright. Okay? So that happened in 2019. Brother Blake is working on establishing a church library for people to check out books and use them in an attempt to further facilitate Bible study and the study of God's Word and looking into and reading on different theological and biblical topics and subjects. Okay? And then I think we also need to acknowledge, and this is all I could remember, if I left something out, I'm sure somebody will point it out, but we had loss as a congregation and we also had celebration. Brother Doug Harden passed away in 2019. And Brother Wayne and Jill were married in 2019. So there's a lot of things that happen in the course of a year within the life of an assembly, and I think that it's important every year that we go back and we reflect on those things. Okay? So now I want to get into the part that's going to be probably the hardest for me to talk about. Okay? And that is the topic of no mortgage, now what? All right? Before I get too far into it, I want to acknowledge something, okay? And that's this. Together, we have established an impressive and impactful ministry. Now, you look around and you say, how is that possible? Nobody's here, okay? But don't just look at that, right? Our ministry, the ministry of Grace Life Bible Church is local, obviously here in West Michigan. It's also nationwide. I hear from people every week who are writing or calling the church, asking questions or wanting information, wanting to know where they can find certain studies and so forth. So we've established an impactful and impressive ministry that is reaching not only people here locally, not only people nationwide, but also people worldwide. I got a message from a guy, I still have to answer it, in Africa, wanting information about where he could access some of our video material. I had a call, I had an email from a lady in the Netherlands 2 weeks ago asking me a question about the Dutch Bible translation, which unfortunately I don't know enough about. So anyway, I tried to answer her as best I could, right? But the point is, from this small assembly, we are impacting people in ways that we don't even know and that we don't even realize through the messages being sent out. The books that have been published, the media that's available online, the large study projects like the Grace History Project and the current project on the inspiration, preservation, and transmission and translation of the Bible that we're doing. All of these projects are impacting people, not just here, but other places, as they're able to access this, gain access through our website, through our media opportunities, and also through the books that the church has published and been involved in, okay? So we've done a lot in 12 years, okay? But I'm going to tell you that I personally believe, this is my personal, private opinion, I personally believe that the ministry has reached something of a threshold, okay, without somebody giving it their full-time attention. I see myself, I'm just speaking to you honestly here, I see myself as being sort of tapped out, as not having any ability to do more than I currently am doing, as long as I'm in the situation that I'm currently in. Now, this is not Brian's crybaby session. This is me trying to talk to you on behalf of some stuff that we've talked about as a board, of some questions that people are going to have, right? I've already had people coming to me and saying, now that there's no mortgage, when are you going full time? And I said, I don't know. Okay? But that's kind of where I'm going with this, and we need to have a conversation about it, and I feel like you guys need to hear my heart on this. And I'm talking not only right now to the people that are here in this room and in the fellowship hall, but hopefully to the people that are out there on YouTube, the people that are on the internet that are listening to this, that have been impacted by the ministry of Grace Life Bible Church. I personally believe, and my wife agrees with me, that we have reached a point where we cannot do more than we're currently doing, right? And so if that means that the assembly has reached a point here locally and anywhere else where we've sort of maxed out what we can accomplish given the constraints of time that I have, this is kind of where I feel things are at from my point of view, okay? Let me give you some personal history. Am I getting ahead of myself? Okay. I grew up a pastor's kid. And I watched my dad and my parents struggle to make ends meet, to be a tent-making pastor, to have a job on the side because the ministry that they were doing was not able to fully sustain them and fully support them. Okay? And I'm going to add to that, most grace preachers, most people that are preaching the Word of God rightly divided from a King James Bible are pastoring small churches. Most of them are pastoring churches that are smaller than our churches here. Most of them, people will walk into our congregation and they'll look around and their eyes are bugging out of their head and they're like, wow, you guys are so lucky that you have these things that we kind of maybe take for granted sometimes now after having enjoyed them for as long as we have, right? But where am I going with this? Where I'm going with this is I watched that struggle that my parents had to be a family that was faithful to teaching the Bible according to their convictions, and also, on the other hand, struggling to make ends meet. And growing up watching that, when I was in college, I went through a lot of different... It took me about 6 years to get my undergrad finished because I changed my mind like three times of what I wanted to do. I ended up deciding that I needed to be a teacher. And one of the reasons I decided that I needed to be a teacher was because I knew that if I was a teacher, I would have my weekends off, right? I knew I would have Christmas off and summer off, and I knew that a job like that would give me more time than a lot of men have to study and to preach and to do things if I didn't have to work in a factory or do a job like that. If I had a job like being a teacher, I could maximize the time that I had to hopefully be productive in the ministry. And so I made that choice on purpose. I made that choice to be a teacher on purpose and to have a career that I felt would be conducive to ministry, okay? That would be conducive to being able to study and hopefully maybe write and do some of the things that I wanted to do, okay? So where we're at now is paying off the mortgage has prompted board discussions about the possibility slash feasibility of me leaving my secular job and pastoring Grace Life Bible Church full time. Okay? Now some of you are saying, yeah, it's about time we're having this conversation, but in my mind, I firmly believe, as I think the other members of the board do, this is not a conversation that we could have ever realistically entertained while we still had a mortgage. Okay? And so now that the mortgage is no longer an issue, now that that's no longer an obstacle, then the next question that's been asked of me is, well, what is it that you're planning on doing? What is it that you want to do? What is it that you desire to do? Okay? So I'll just be straight about it. I do desire to pastor this assembly full time. Okay? I do desire to do that if it's financially feasible for me to do it. This has prompted a lot of conversation between Becky and I about this, okay? I don't have any plans in the near future to quit my job. We have to see how this thing goes and what we're able to do. I will say, the idea of not having to have two jobs would certainly reduce my personal stress level, okay? And I often feel like I have a split personality between this thing that I do and this other thing that I do, plus being a husband and a father and everything else, okay? And so I do desire to entertain that conversation if it's financially feasible for me to become the full-time pastor of Grace Life Bible Church. But I'm not going to make a rash decision, folks, okay? I'm not going to... My wife and I discussed it that there's going to be a tendency possibly to hear what I'm saying and everyone to get all riled up and say, yeah, let's make that happen, right? And then there's going to be maybe that initial sort of swell of enthusiasm and so forth. But if we're talking about me stepping away from my job and my financial benefits and all the stuff that is there, I'm going to need a lot more to go on than just some initial enthusiasm. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm not saying that to be a jerk or to think, or anything remotely like that. I'm saying it to be realistic, right? And so we're gonna have to develop something that makes sense if this is something, if this is a goal that the church has. Thirdly, on that point, I've also talked to older pastors. Pastors who are older than me, who are in their 60s, some of them in their 70s, who never had the type of outside secular employment that I have. Okay? And so they've given me some of their advice about how to think about this and how to walk through this as I decide and as we decide and have conversations together about where all of this might be going. Okay? Along these lines, I also want to be straight and say that I have 13 years before I can retire from the school system with a full pension. Right? In 13, after this school year, I'll have 13 more before I will have 30 years in and I could retire with a full pension. That pension would include, obviously, a pension payment, but it also includes some health benefits and stuff like that for my wife and I. So, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, do I really want to walk away from that right now, given where I'm at in my life? I'm 42. Okay, in 13 years, I'll be 55. If I have to do that, then so be it, right? And I'm willing to do that, but I'm just trying to lay out on the table kind of where things are at. There's a possibility that I might be able to buy 5 years on my pension, which would drop the number of years of service that I have to finish from 13 to 5. Which would put the possibility of me being able to walk away from that as early as 8 years. If the church decided that that was something that they wanted to help me with. Okay? So I'm not even asking for that right now. I'm just saying this is part of the conversations that we've been having as a board. Okay? That these are all things that are on the table to consider as we think about this. All right? So the board is in the process. The board is beginning a process then of discussing full-time ministry as a long-term goal. Alright? So some things that are gonna happen. Daryl and I are working on, he doesn't know it yet, but we're working on setting up a meeting with he and I and a representative of the retirement services department to discuss where I'm at, what we're looking at, and what it might take to be able to buy some years on that retirement, okay? Nothing has been done along those lines. The other thing is that Daryl's going to get into this more when he gives the financial report, is that the church already has, via the way that the mortgage was paid off, we already have a Merrill Lynch investment account that we are discussing to possibly moving some funds in to get those funds working on behalf of the church, to hopefully be able to generate some other sources of income into the assembly other than just the weekly giving of the saints. Okay? So there's an opportunity there for people who are maybe retiring, who are, end of life planning, an account for people who could, you know, direct funds from their estate into a specific investment account on the church's behalf to hopefully start growing some of those things. Okay? So, the board then would like feedback on the possibility of full-time ministry, all right? And you don't have to say anything right now. In fact, I'd rather you didn't. But that's the question here is, does the church support this idea as a long-term goal? Does the church support this idea? And then second, what are folks willing to do to make that happen, okay? As a goal for the assembly, all right? Now, a lot of you know, most of you know me pretty well, and you know that I'm a history guy, right? And I like to think about things from the point of view of history. And so I do want to put this in here, and I want to draw this to your attention, all right? All of the grace ministries that have had an enduring impact upon the body of Christ were financially supported by people, thereby freeing up time to be devoted to the study, teaching, and preaching and writing. Okay? You think about a guy like Bullinger, O'Hare, Stamm, and Richard Jordan, And they are able to accomplish what they are accomplishing from the standpoint of ministry because they have people who have come alongside and are supporting the ministry so that they can go do those things and write those books and go to those conferences and teach and preach and study and do those kinds of things and not have to work other employment. Okay? Folks, I've been doing this. I've been doing what I've been doing since the year 2000. In fact, Becky and I, since we've been married, we've literally known no other way than to be a tent-making family. I started preaching in July 2020, less than 3 weeks after we got married. Okay? And that was our first argument, by the way. I agreed to do that without consulting her. So, ever since then, I have been doing two things. I have been either a full-time college student and teaching every Sunday, or I have been a full-time teacher and teaching every Sunday. And I'm okay with continuing that. Okay. So this is not, I don't want this to come across as, you know, like I'm begging for money somehow or anything along those lines. I'm just trying to lay before the church a goal and some discussion that we've had as a board about these things. Okay. And I would love to be able to take Grace Life Bible Church to the next step, okay? To be able to devote attention to things that I don't have time to devote attention to with the goal of growing the ministry and growing the local church, okay? So I'll just say it this way for now, and then I'm going to turn this over to Daryl. During the year 2020, the board will be attempting to ascertain a clear plan moving forward as to how we might be able to accomplish this long-term goal. That is, if it's something that the congregation wants to see happen. If it is, you need to be communicating that to myself, to other men on the board, and so forth along those lines. All right. And let me just say this before I finish and hand it over to Daryl. I'm not going to make a rash decision. I've already promised my wife that we're only going to make a significant move like this if it makes sense for us to do it. All right. And so it's going to require, I think, some demonstration over time that this does make sense and it is feasible for us to do it before I would be willing to just, you know, resign my job and take over the church full time. I hope all those things make sense. If you have any questions about them, by all means, make sure that you ask. But that's sort of the idea of no mortgage, now what? Well, now what opens up a whole different conversation that we could potentially enter into. And maybe that's not where the church wants to go with things. If it's not, like I said, if I'm not going to like quit preaching here if you decide that's not a goal that you want to get into, okay? I don't really want to take yes. I don't know the answer to that yet. I think it's going to depend first on what kind of feedback we get and where that goes. I don't think we're not, in my mind, Christina, we are not at a position yet where we can make any kind of definitive decision. My goal right now is just to put before you kind of what has been discussed and give everybody something to think about where the church goes from here. Okay? So with that said, Daryl, you want to come up? Can you bring me a copy of the report, please?
Morning. Everybody has a copy of the financial report. We'll get started. If somebody does not have one and would like one, Dave has copies. Just put your hand up real quick and we'll get you a copy. Okay, so what we're going to try to do this morning is distill down a year's worth of financial data to about 10 or 15 minutes. So. appreciate you bearing with me as we walk through the fiscal year report here. So as Brian mentioned, we've switched to where we've matched the calendar and the fiscal year. So when I say fiscal year, that basically just means the year 2019. So it's from January 1st to December 31st of 2019. So if you turn to the first page there in your little handout, we're going to take a look back at noteworthy items. So as mentioned already, the mortgage has been paid in full. So we can all be very grateful and appreciative of that, that that's not something hanging over our head anymore. And these noteworthy items, too, are things that generally affect, like, expenses to the church. So as I go through them, just to make you aware of things that we did spend money on, when the city put the sidewalk out there along Lake Michigan Drive, they basically divided up the yard into different zones, and our sprinkler system had to be reconfigured so that we could water between the sidewalk and the street and then between the sidewalk and the parking lot. So Brother Todd did all of that work for the church, but that was an expense that we incurred. And then if you didn't know, we've been having some issues with the plumbing system in the front half of the building here, like when we would have large gatherings. And we finally got to the bottom of that. It did cost us some money to do it, but we found out that the front of the building has its own septic system and drain field. So we thought everything was going out the back of the building to that drain field and septic system. And there was one up here, and that for as long as we've been here, we never did any maintenance or cleaning or pumping on that tank. So it basically was just backed up. So we now have that all taken care of, and hopefully, now that we know about it, we'll just do the routine maintenance on the tank, and we should not have any further issues with that. So the west wall, the wall right behind me here, was repaired. We did get some money back from warranty on the materials for that, but what was happening was the rain would come off the roof and then blow back and hit the wood siding, and it was just sort of chewing it all up. So that's been repaired, and we put a gutter up on that west roof eave. So now the rain goes in the gutters and down out into the parking lot. So that'll further prevent any damage there. We also upgraded the sound system with new mics. That was to support the Sunday school Christmas program that we had this year. So everybody was able to hear the kids and the singing a little bit better. As Brian mentioned, we had our 2019 GLBC conference, and the GLBC brokerage investment account has been opened, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a second. If you remember last year, we introduced the Amazon Smile program. That's where if you have an Amazon account, you can pick a charity, and then they donate, I think, 0.5% of each of your orders to that charity. So people have been doing that, and last year we received $27.89. So not a huge amount, but it's free money. So, and Amazon's giving it to us. So what we'll do next is I will review the balance and income and expense report. So if you turn over to the next page, that's the balance sheet for the year 2019. So if you look under the assets, I'll just kind of go down the footnotes here in order. The first one, the checking account, the balance as of December 31st was $24,565.93. So that's how much money that we have in that account. And then we also have a couple of savings accounts. So the total liquid assets as of December 31st was $29,218. So when I say liquid assets, that essentially means that myself or a representative of the church could go to Mercantile Bank, and that's how much money we could withdraw from there. And then down under liabilities, we just left this on the statement to close out the year, but the mortgage payable is at zero. So from this point forward, that will be taken off the reports, as it will no longer be anything that we have. So we have, at this point, no liabilities. So again, we can all be thankful and appreciative for that. If you turn to the next page, we'll start going through the income and expense report. I know there's a lot of numbers on here, and I'm only going to hit a few of them. If you have any questions about any of these expenses or incomes, please just stop me after the meeting and we can talk about it, or you know, next week or whenever, and we'll make sure we get your questions answered. But like I said, it's a year's worth of data, so can only hit the high points. So the first note there, funds donated by regular attendees of our assembly was at just a little over $62,000. The miscellaneous checks there you'll see, that's checks that come to the church through the mail. We get checks through the mail outside of our local assembly, and then other miscellaneous checks. And the reason that's so high, that's $195,000, is because we had to account for that income that we took in that then turned right around and paid the mortgage off. So that's where that income essentially is accounted for. And then if you look at the PayPal deposits, that is all PayPal donations from outside of people that come to this church, into this building. So nearly $8,000 is just income that people have sent because they're watching the live stream or other ways they're using the website and they just want to support our assembly. Yep. So the total income there, again, that's, you know, very high because of the income for the mortgage payoff is at $268,641. So as we switch to the expenses, as I mentioned, I just want to highlight the key things that somebody might have a question on and say, you know, why was that account so high, or what does this expense mean? So I'll go through those. And like I said, if you do have any questions, feel free to just hit me up after the meeting. But the total Bible conference, we spent $1,734. But we took in donations, and we took in donations for the pizza. So our net cost to our church here was just a little over $1,000. And that was about half of what it was the year prior, because we didn't have any real travel expenses, and we didn't have any like hotels and stuff like that that we had to pay for. The adjoining grounds and building is just a little over $5,000. And that's high because of the, as I mentioned, the cost related to the septic system, the west wall repair, and then if you remember, we had the whole entire carpet cleaned in the church this past year. So that was a big task that was taken care of and is accounted for there. And then the lawn care other, that's the sprinkler system reconfiguration. So all of the parts, pieces, tubing, labor, all of that stuff was accounted for that. And the 1682. And then the snow removal, again, thank you, City of Grand Rapids, for putting a sidewalk that we now have to maintain and take care of. So that is not snow removal of the parking lot. Brother Dave's doing that for us. That is just, we hired a company to do the sidewalk clearing, because anytime it snows, you have like 24 hours to clear that, or the city can start assessing you fines and stuff like that. So we, rather than try to make somebody come here, you know, anytime it snows, we just hired a contracting snow plowing company to do that for us. So we'll switch over to the next page there. The top part of that page pretty much is all just real basic expenses, nothing out of the ordinary there. So if you do read through those on your own and you did have a question, again, just let me know. But if we drop down to miscellaneous expenses under office, the 623, I just wanted to call out that that includes the accounting software that we use to make these reports. If you buy software now, you know, you basically just, you don't buy it and then you get to use it. You pay every year. It's like a subscription fee. So the software we have to buy, it counts for about half of that $623. And then under postage expense, that includes the P.O. box renewal, which is about $120 a year also. So, and that's for any mail that comes to the church, goes to that P.O. box. So we definitely want to keep that going. And then under pulpit expense, the church support, the $22,984, that is reflective of pastor's 2019 salary. Now, in conjunction with the no mortgage, now what, and, you know, the talks that the board has had, you know, we didn't want to just sort of rest on our laurels and say, okay, the mortgage is paid off. You know, we don't need to stretch ourselves or continue to grow or anything like that. So the board approved an increase of 8.6% in pastor's salary, which brings it for this year to $24,960. So we took that as just sort of an initial first step to use some of that money that would have been going to the mortgage to further compensate Brian and Becky and their family for all the work that they do here. And if you flip over to the next page, just a couple more here. So the support supplies, $1,734. Most people probably don't remember, but way back at the beginning of last year, we bought like a mini iPad that allows us to stream from the adult Sunday school room. If Brian was trying to use his phone and stuff like that, and it just was easier to have a dedicated device. It also includes Microsoft Office software subscription. So again, that's something that we have to pay every year just to be able to have the Microsoft PowerPoints and all the Excel and Word and all that stuff on the computers that is used for the church. And then, so total expenses brings us to $66,018.45. So if you switch over to the next page there, a look forward. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is new reporting. And when I say reporting, maybe some people aren't even aware, but in the years past, we would always report the previous week's offering in the bulletin. And we put that against what we determined to be like our income goal or our offering goal. And the issue with that is that it only ever accounted for what was collected in this building on any given Sunday. It doesn't account for like PayPal donations, miscellaneous checks, anything like that, that also come in and support this assembly. So what the board has decided to do is that going forward, and the first of each month, we're going to report our actual total income against the goal that we've set. So if you had been watching the income statements in the bulletin last year, you would realize it always looked like we were running behind. But that really truly wasn't the case because of all the other income that we generated. So that'll be a change going forward. Look for that the 1st of February. And I'll work with Sylvia. We'll probably make it like one of the colored inserts that we'll put in that bulletin that first Sunday of the month. So that'll just give you a more accurate reflection of how much the church set as a goal versus how much the whole church, the whole assembly, everybody that supports it, where we're at with that. And then the brokerage account. So as Brian mentioned, there is a Merrill Lynch investment account that was opened to facilitate the mortgage payoff. So this really has to do with taxes and tax savings and advantages to the person that donated those funds. So it really just not much more to say about it than that, other than we then had the opportunity to, do we keep that account open or do we just close it out and let it be gone forever? And as Brian mentioned, there's some advantages to keeping it open, is that if other people wanted to donate in those ways to the church and take advantage of those tax advantages, we now have this account open and it would be easy to facilitate that for people that wanted to do that. It really only costs $300 a year to just keep that account open. So we thought that that was an advantageous thing to do. And then also, as Brian talked about, we have talked as a board that we are going to start using this account to do some investing and start to build a nest egg, if you will, for the church that will at some point provide us financial stability rather than just relying on income that we get week after week after week. And so, as you know, in your personal lives, just having like, you know, your retirement and you put money in it, and then eventually, you know, as you get older and then you can draw income from that. That's sort of the model that we're looking at for the church to be able to do. So that if we did have a full-time pastor and some, you have ups and downs in the income, you could pull out a little bit of additional income from that investment. And the one thing I definitely want to talk about is when I say investment, I'm not talking about like single stocks, anything risky. Anything we do, especially this year, probably even next year, we're looking at like doing CDs, certificate of deposits that are FDIC insured. We will not lose our principal money. I've met with the brokerage manager, Jeff. We've had a good conversation. He does this for other churches as well. So I feel confident working with him. And I just want to make everybody feel comfortable that we're not like going to run off and go do crazy investing stuff like that. So if you remember when we talked about the checking account had $25,000 in it. Normally what we would do at the end of the year like this is we would decide how much money from that checking account and we would take a big swing at the mortgage, you know, and make a big principal payment to try to drop that. Well, we don't have to do that anymore. So what we're going to do is take a very pretty decent chunk of that checking account and we're going to move it into this brokerage account. And we're going to probably start doing like a few CDs and building a CD ladder, which is basically it invests, and then when one matures, then you have another one coming up behind it, and then you reinvest that money that matured. So the checking account at Mercantile, we get 0% interest. So that money is doing nothing except sitting there and helping Mercantile. So we're going to take it and put it in this account where we can at least start to get some moderate interest rate from the CDs while still protecting the funds. So I hope that makes sense to everybody. If it doesn't, like I said, feel free to talk to me afterwards and I'll try to answer any questions with you, but that's kind of where we're headed with the brokerage account. So it's kind of like, you know, you got to start somewhere, right? So just like your personal retirement investing, they say start early and start often. And so that's, we're going to just get started on it now. Other things that we're probably going to look forward to doing this year is HDMI upgrade projects. So in all of our connections in the sound booths and the TVs and monitors, there's just all kinds of weird connections. And it would really be beneficial to just replace all that with straight HDMI cables. So that would eliminate weird things like the TVs turning red and stuff like that. So that's one project that we'll probably be looking to do. Fellowship Hall carpet replacement. So we know we've had it clean this past year, but everything has a service life and eventually we'll need to replace this carpeting. And then as we've talked about before, the parking lot resurfacing at some point, you know, you can only seal it so many times before it's so bad you just kind of have to mill it off and replace it. So that's something we're still talking about. And then the FY20 budget review, if you switch over to the next page. So what I want to call your attention to here is that, so obviously everybody's like, yay, the mortgage is paid off, so we don't need as much money. And that's true. And we've accounted for that in the mortgage or the budget here. If you go down about a quarter of the way down, it says projected income requirements for 2020. And if you'll see that weekly is 996. So that's what it would be if we took the mortgage out and we increased Brian's salary that we agreed upon and all these other sort of non-avoidable expenses. That came out to be the 996. And last year it was 1380. So that's what taking the mortgage out of the equation basically does. But as I mentioned, you know, the board's not really content that we just want to be status quo and not grow and stretch like that. So we've added a few additional forward-looking items to the budget that we would like to fund as a board and have goals and basically reasons for people to continue to support the assembly. And one of them is a one anothering fund. So Brian talked for numerous years, months, numerous months for about one anothering. And what we decided as a board we'd like to do is be able to just set some money aside so that if somebody in the assembly or somebody that is, we know is part of the assembly, related to the assembly, needs help with something, and not necessarily just financially, but if it's something that we can buy or do or help that person out, sort of a way to live out that one anothering principle for the people in the church here and the community. So that's something that we wanted to do. Again, we've talked about the carpet replacement, and essentially it's just been talk, and the way we had been going is eventually get bad enough, we would just have to do it and then we'd pay for it. But we'd like to be proactive. And this year it would be really nice if we could collect $10,000 to put towards that carpet replacement fund. So that's what that is accounting for. And then the long-term building maintenance fund. So everybody that has owned a house or a car or anything, you know, as it ages, more and more things go wrong with it. So what we would like to do, and this probably will be part of the money that goes into the brokerage account and is housed there, but we'd like to start a long-term building and property maintenance fund. Eventually, you know, we'll have to replace the shingles. We might have to replace windows, flooring, paint, parking lot, just all these big things. You know, the boiler could go bad, air conditioning, just there's a lot of stuff that could just come up at times that you're not really expecting it. So what we would like to do is start this fund so that when those things do occur, it's not like panic and we got to go like figure out how we're going to pay for this or take out a mortgage on the building, which we don't necessarily want to do. That will help us absorb those costs when they do occur. So when we add in those items, then that brings the income goal for 2020 to $1,400 a week. So just a little bit higher than last year. And like I said, when we do the reporting, we'll report. So January, there's four Sundays, so it'll be the four times the 1,400, and then we'll report what we actually took in as a whole for the income. So that will give you an idea of where we're at with that income versus the goal. So that concludes my report. And like I said, I just definitely want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable. If you have questions, please come and talk to me. Don't feel shy or embarrassed or anything. I'm happy to answer questions. And in closing, I just want to thank everyone for your continued generous support and read 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Thank you.
Thanks, Daryl. You really need to acknowledge the time Daryl put into this report. A lot of time, care, and effort went into this, and he does a great job. And we need to make sure that we acknowledge what Daryl's doing along those lines. So I'm going to finish this up here quick. What I'm hoping that you're seeing, we're trying to be comprehensive. We're trying to be forward thinking. We're not trying to be, you know, well, we've done this thing, so now we're just going to continue status quo. There's things pertaining to the ministry, and we want to have a growth mindset about it that looks at growing and moving forward, okay? So there's a couple things that I still want to just mention briefly here on this, and I want to talk about ministry needs for 2020. We always have a need for volunteers with the children's ministry, okay? And the rotations, this is always a big area of need for us. A nursery workers, we're in the middle of almost on another small baby boom here. There's already one baby, and I'm told there's going to be at least two more, right? My math's right, something like that. And so there's going to be need for that. We do have enough teachers for the time being for the teenagers, okay? But if you're thinking about getting involved in any of that, I just want to remind you that there's a rotation and there's a curriculum that is provided, okay? So another area that we always are looking for help in is the cleaning rotation. the cleaning crew that helps with cleaning the church on a week-by-week basis and making sure things are in order and so forth when we have church. Some of you are already doing that. We appreciate what you're already doing along those lines. And last, we still are really in need of a person or a group, a couple, who has it on their heart to lead a youth group. All right, we had Nate and Kristen, and they moved on to go to a different assembly. And so we still have a need here for somebody who is able to step into that and be able to take that on. As I alluded to earlier, I just don't have time for it with the responsibilities and so forth that I already have. So there's some ministry needs with the children's ministry, with youth group. If you're interested in being involved in the cleaning or any of these things, these are always ministry opportunities that we have available. Since I talked about it, I also want to remind people about board meetings. Since we did solicit your input on the question of a full-time pastor, please submit any proposals for the board's consideration in writing before the meeting. So this is just a procedural thing. If you have something that you think the church should do or an event you would like to see happen or something along those lines, you can either show up in person, which is even better, or you can submit a proposal in writing beforehand, all right? The structure of our meetings. We have an open agenda and a closed agenda portion for every meeting. Typically, the open agenda runs, or the open portion runs from 9 to 10. This is where we give every month a financial report. Every month, Daryl presents a financial report as part of the board meeting. There's nothing that is done sort of behind closed doors. It is all made public in the open portion of the board meeting. We also, during that, hear new proposals and review old business. And the closed portion, that usually runs from 9 to 10, and that is for use at the board's discretion, depending on what's going on in the assembly or how we might need to use that time. So we do have a group of three who come all the time to every meeting for the open portion. And if you want to do that, you're encouraged to do it. That's why we're holding that portion of time open for people who want to be there, hear what's going on, or present something that they would like for the church to consider. Okay? And last, Mark, will you help me? Last, again, you can help promote the church. Okay? You can help spread the ministry through your use of social media. We have a new website. We have live streaming on YouTube. The church has a Facebook page. Anytime that you take our content and you share it with somebody out in any of those platforms, you are potentially increasing the reach of the assembly and bringing in new people into our audience to hear our message and to interact with us as far as their learning of the scriptures is concerned. So please take advantage of that, those of you that are involved in those types of things, all right? You can obviously talk to your family and friends, invite them to church, invite them to a meeting or so forth, or a conference, and then embrace the need for fellowship and support with like-minded saints, okay? We have a lot of opportunities. They're growing on a yearly basis, the different things that we are doing or trying to do as a church, okay? So I would just like to say thank you to everybody for where we are at, okay? The whole idea of even being able to talk about some of the stuff is on a much better footing and standing than where we were a year ago. And hopefully we can continue to engage in forward thinking and planning and so forth so that when we have this conversation in this meeting again in 2021, that we can present something and be even on a better footing and standing than we are right now, okay? So I don't have anything else to say. I don't want to belabor things. I appreciate your attention. I know sitting through a meeting is not the most exciting thing, but I hope that you've gotten something out of what I shared, what Daryl shared, and that you've been given some things to think about as we move forward as a church. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for those who have gathered here this morning to hear your word preached. Even though it wasn't really a preaching sermon, it was things that pertain to the assembly. Lord, we pray for those who are listening possibly online or after the fact. If they're benefiting from the ministry, that they would consider where they might stand with our question of no mortgage, now what? And as we think about where the ministry has been, what we've been able to accomplish and what we might be able to do and accomplish moving forward. We just pray that we would consider those things prayerfully, and that we would be not rash, not rushed to decisions, but be very, very purposeful and planned out in how we're accomplishing our business. We're grateful for the time that we could spend together. We know there are a lot that aren't here. We pray that they would be able to watch and listen and take in this information and think about how it might and could apply to them. We're grateful for all of the saints that make up Grace Life Bible Church, that comprise our online audience, that support the church, whether it's locally or remotely, through PayPal deposits, checks, and other forms. We're grateful for all those things. We ask this in Christ's name.